Announcement to be made, Scott and Ashley are expecting a baby. Amen. So pray for Scott. When are you due?
October 18th.
So be in prayer for a new baby coming up. And then also next Sunday, oh, I tell you, want everybody to be in prayer, get excited. But next Sunday morning, and I know how y'all like to eat, so yes, we are trying to entice you and bribe you with food. I couldn't think of a spiritual way to describe that. But at 8:45 next Sunday morning, I want you to come here, be a full breakfast, thanks to the kitchen committee and all the work there. Going to kick off our new Sunday school start time, which will be 9:45. So get up early, we'll make you breakfast. We'll start after we eat, 9:45 in our classes. They'll be going on a new format, especially if you're not in Sunday school. If you're not in Sunday school, we really need you. You know, I can sit up here and tell you all the reasons why you need to come to Sunday school, and they're there, but I tell you, we need you to be a part of helping us to turn Sunday school back into the caring and the outreach and evangelism, and it's amazing what God has set up and got in store for us, so I encourage you to be here next Sunday at 8:45, and if for some reason you can't come to breakfast, we'll start at 9:45 right on the dot in our classrooms, and we'll get you to a classroom, and we'll take care of all that for you. But I'm glad you came. I hope you brought your Bibles. If you didn't, there's one right there in front of the pew in front of you. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. If you're physically able, would you stand with me all over God's house for the reading of His holy word? Amen. And it still is holy. It still is the truth. And thank you for standing to honor it. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And I want you to think as we read this scripture, we're going to look this morning at scripture along these lines, life lessons from the mother of Jesus. Life lessons from the mother of Jesus. In verse 26, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary to the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that every one of us, under the sound of my voice, though that we might join in obedience to this word, in obedience, Lord, to the statement that Mary makes in verse 38, that, Lord, that anything and everything that you have for us, your perfect will, your plans, Lord, that we would ask this morning that our lives would be descriptive of this, that it be unto us according to your word. Lord, I pray that our thoughts will be according to your word. I pray with our attitude, Lord, our interactions, our, Lord, words we say, our actions, Lord, everything about us, Lord, that you'd make us as followers of Jesus, that you'd make us as a church that would be according to your word, not according to how we're feeling, not according to the news of the day, not according to our circumstances, Lord, but everything, knowing that, Lord, we truly do believe, as verse 37 says, for with you, dear God, nothing shall be impossible. And Lord, I pray for that mom that maybe is hurting this morning. Lord, they have a child who doesn't know Jesus. Lord, that grandmother that has a grandchild that doesn't know Jesus. Lord, and it may be after time of prayer and a time of looking, Lord, it almost is becoming the reality of it seems in a fleshly sense that it's an impossible situation. So I pray for those souls. I pray for those salvations. I pray, Lord, for that child that's walking a guilty distance, for that wayward child or grandchild, Lord, that you might bring them back, Lord. And Lord, you might use this as a beginning this morning, Lord, and even next Sunday as a beginning, Lord, to reach out, Lord, that we might, Lord, all be able to say that more and more every day our lives are becoming more and more according to your holy word. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Life lessons from the mother of Jesus. I believe that we can find in God's word some life lessons, not just some life lessons for mothers, but some life lessons for all of us in the mother of Jesus. And we need to be always careful. There are some religious groups and folks who have elevated Mary to a position beyond where the Bible puts her. Amen. You got to be very careful there, that you look and you see things in religion, you see things in the news or people's habits. You don't ever take everything above the Bible. So Mary was just such a common girl. She found favor in God's eyes because she was humble before the Lord. She was available to the Lord. But she was just a humble girl who God chose to be the earthly mother of Jesus Christ. And just to be able to think about the humility, to think about just to know more about her life. It's so limited what we know, amen? It's so limited what we know, but I really believe in the verses that I've read you, there are some lessons that we can find from this mother of Jesus that can be life-changing for us all. There's really, and there's so many messages here, as I began to try to put it together and study, there were much more we could cover this morning. But I really, really, I think the Holy Spirit wants us to focus on three. I'm going to give it to you real quickly, and I pray, and you pray that we can get to them all, amen? But the first one I think we'll look at is that we don't need to ignore messengers from God. Don't ignore messengers from God. Mary showed that. The messenger came, we'll talk about it. Don't ignore messengers from God. Secondly, we need to be as Mary was. We need to always wait on God's timing, amen? Always wait. We're in such a hurry-up world, and we're always in such a hurry, and nobody seems to have time, if you would, to wait anymore on anything, much less the Lord. So we don't want to ignore the messages of God. We always want to wait on the Lord's timing. And then thirdly, to only seek the favor of the Lord. To only seek the favor of the Lord. There's so many things that we can find favor in and so many things that will take us away, but to only seek favor from the Lord. Look back with me in verse 26. And let's just dive in and understand what's going on here. And we think about this messenger. And we think along these lines. If you're taking notes, don't miss that messenger would be the key word here. Don't ignore the messengers from God. In verse 26, it tells us, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. The angel Gabriel, angels were many times in the Bible, they were used as those holy messengers, those angelic messengers. They're bringing a word from God, and we see them showing up time and time in Scripture. And here, I guess we'd have to say probably the most important time that a messenger of God showed up, when the angel Gabriel, could you imagine the honor bestowed upon Gabriel, that you're going to go down and you're going to tell this precious mother who I've picked out that she is going to be, not realizing she's not even married, never been with a man, but she is going to be the mother of my son Jesus. I can imagine Mary's humility before, but Terry, can you imagine the humility after you go through this process? Could you imagine the humility of being in the presence of a messenger of God? And I think we find a lesson in the fact that oftentimes we're missing the messenger of God, because when the messenger of God comes, you can't be helped but be overwhelmed by the message, amen? And not that, in the understanding that I believe every day, God has an intention. He wants to use you and I as messengers. We're going to look at some things as messengers, but we need to realize that when you get a message from God, it's going to change your life. Did this not change Mary's life? Amen. This created some trouble. The message from God created some trouble for Mary. You know, it's almost like you think, and I can imagine as she's afraid and she's talking back to the Gabriel, and Gabriel is, if probably you and I have often been, hey, I'm just the messenger, amen? Yeah, I didn't come up with this. I didn't plan this. It isn't my truth, but here's the message of God. So she's overwhelmed. It humbles her more. It's life-changing. And that, listen, that's why we don't want to miss the messages of God, amen? We don't want to miss them. I never forget, it's been many years ago, and we happened to be out at the coast. It was during summertime, and I had got up early in the morning, and I was taking a walk on the beach. And you find one thing at the beach. Now, the beach can get crowded, amen? But I find out one thing I learned in traveling. If you want to go anywhere and kind of enjoy not having the crowd, just get up early, amen? Most people don't get up early on vacation, amen? Sometimes I don't. But I got up early that morning. I was out, and the beach was empty. Beautiful morning, and I was walking along the beach. In my mind, I was praying and I was thinking. I was probably, to be honest with you, I was doing more thinking than I was praying. And I was walking, and I was really disturbed, and I can't even recount to you everything. Don't want to recount to you everything that I was really just kind of disturbed about and I was worried about. Y'all with me? We had those times. I was walking down the beach and all of a sudden, just walking up toward me is a man who I'd never seen. I'd never seen him in my life. And he walked with a smile. He walks. I mean, we're, you know, hey, there's nobody else on the beach, Miss Margaret. And we're walking up. And we're just, he's just smiling at me and looks. And he starts talking to me. Strange happening. Amen. Randy, not some kind of strange. Some of this odd fellow is walking up. And he walks up to me. And I wish I'd have a recording, you know. And nowadays you can record and video on the phone. I wish I had some paper to write down on. But I can tell you, I can't tell you the details of the message. But it was simply this. This man smiled at me and said, you know, there's a lot of stuff you're worrying about. You know the Lord will take care of this. You just need to quit. And I mean, he's just going on and on. I sit there and I just sort of amazement. I'm like, man, that's just amazing. Just, you know, I guess maybe he saw I'd look down or whatever. And I don't know the details, and God's my witness, but I walk just a little bit more. I'm thinking, where's this guy? He was gone. Now, I assume he had just scurried up to the next hotel or the next house or the next beach access. Amen, Eric? I'm sure that he just walked on his way. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I encountered an angel from God, but I will tell you what I encountered was a messenger from God. Amen? A messenger from God. And I'll go this step further. I do believe that the Bible is true. Amen. And I do believe that the Bible tells us that we entertain angels unaware. But I want to go a step further. I'm not waiting on meeting with an angel, okay? You don't need to be waiting on just say, God, I wish you'd send an angel into my room when I can't sleep at night. Or God, I wish you'd send an angel into the hospital room. Or I wish you'd send an angel into my house or an angel into my car to give me a message just like Mary got. But I really believe the problem is that we too often are ignoring and we're missing the messengers that are there and available every day of our lives. And we need to be careful that, could you imagine if Mary had ignored this message? And he said, well, Mary couldn't ignore it. Things were happening. What could have been different if she tried to ignore? What could have God done that's not laid out in Scripture? How things could have been different? But folks, we don't need to ignore those messengers. Because really, you find there in verse 26, the key to understanding so you can find out. Because you might be saying, now, well, preacher, what do you mean how do I know? Who are the messengers? How do I recognize them? How do I know it's a messenger from God and not a messenger from somebody else? And you find there in verse 26, look, and you find those three words it says about the messenger that met with Mary that morning. It said that it was sent from God. Sent from God. So we begin to understand a basic outlay of messengers that God has sent. And I have one laying right here on this holy desk. Many of you have one laying in your lap. And what we have here in the Bible is this, a constantly available messenger from God. Amen. A constant available messenger from God. I had gone to a time, I was in the Gideon ministry, and one of the things I love about the Gideon ministry, they have what's called a personal worker's testament. It's a little bitty New Testament. It has the New Testament and Psalms and Psalms and Proverbs. It has the plan of salvation in the back, and I found nothing that I like anymore in the process of trying to get some more. I'm almost out of all I've gotten, but I found in that little Bible, I just wanted to have it with me all the time. Amen. I wanted to have it in my vehicle. I kept it at my desk at work when I worked in the business world, and I just, that readily available word. And you may say, well, there's times, you know, that it may be that I just can't get a hold of the word. That's why you got to hide Scripture in your heart. But listen, there's very seldom that we can't have access to God's word. Amen. And it's a messenger from God. It's there for us. And even if you don't have your Bible with you, that God will remind you of Scriptures. Now, remember, the Bible even has the phrase help in it. And oftentimes I pray that message back to God, help me. And knowing that, y'all, we have opportunity, that we need to take more times. How often are we ignoring the messenger? Amen. The Bible says that the Word was made flesh and it dwelt among us, meaning Jesus being that Word. And we have the messenger Jesus. And to understand, I'm so even still amazed at 52 years old, and I've been pastoring here for 20 years, to know that I can still open up the message of God. And the messenger is still alive. And the message is still powerful. And how I want to long more and more to come to the messenger of the Bible. And then I find prayer. And we oftentimes learn about prayer, and we're even guilty in our personal lives and in our families, and we're even here at church, and we talk so much in prayer, amen? We talk about the prayer requests and the details behind it, and we want to pray for each person and each need and all these things, but we forget that prayer is designed by God to be a messenger from Him, and that the most important time in prayer really is not what we're saying, talking back to God, the message we're sending Him, and we need to do that, but the messages that He's sending. Prayer is a messenger from God. And I've often confessed, if as we kneel down and pray, we should make it a habit. If you're praying 5 minutes, if you're praying 10 minutes or 15 minutes, and you're talking to God and sending the message of a prayer, we need to then remain silent before Him and kneel down before Him and do our best to, as we're going to see in the next thing that Mary teaches, to wait on Him and let Him send the message. Do you believe God still speaks? Amen? Do you believe that truly prayer can still be a messenger back from you? It's not just us getting messages up to Him, but really it's a messenger to us. I really believe when you think about being sent from God, we celebrate mothers today, and how many of us will say, man, thank you, God, for sending a mother who has been a messenger of grace and love and mercy, and moms who have given us the Word of God and just been that messenger. So we find that family, and there's friends, and there's neighbors and coworkers. I believe that God is still sending people, amen. God is still sending people. He wants to send you and I to go out and be a messenger. But folks, we don't need to ignore the messenger of the Bible. We don't need to ignore the messenger of prayer. And we don't need to ignore the messenger of our family. Amen. How many of you have people in your family that you're praying for? You even longed and invited to be here today, because not that you wanted to be here for Mother's Day, as wonderful that be, but you wanted to hear a message from God. That you were being that messenger from God, saying you need to get under the preaching of God's Word and you need to be drawing closer to God. How many of you have friends and you have coworkers? I believe every one of us, and I can think about previous all the years in the work world, being having a coworker. How many of you realize that, listen, you as a coworker are a messenger from God? And maybe you're sitting here today and you realize that you're at a distance from God. You've not been getting the message of God, and things are not going like God would want to in your life. And you might pause now, and I pray that God would just burn in your mind that coworker who's just constantly trying to be sent from God and trying to give you that message, that family member, that friend. And I tell you, I pray that we'd be revived this morning to realize that I believe that every one of us, God wants to send us out of this church, and that what we're going to do is be messengers. Amen. We're going to be sent of God, just like the angel was sent to Mary. I believe that Sunday school is a platform. I believe our teachers in Sunday school are sent of God. They're ordained of God, and they pray, and they study, and they're the messenger of God. And that's why every Sunday morning I sit in a Sunday school class. I don't take time to finish up my message or go around and get things ready. For 20 years of being a pastor, I've always sat in a Sunday school class. I have purposely not taught a class because I need to hear a message from God. Amen. We need to realize that, so I encourage you, if you've never been in Sunday school or you've fallen out of Sunday school, man, next Sunday's that opportunity. And I believe, and I expect, and I see it happen Sunday by Sunday, and no matter who my teachers have been over the year, and Brother Scott just did it this morning, that there's a message from God. And there's so many messages in, but even one verse that just, Scott will never understand, leaped off the page this morning, and I really think it was sent from God. It was just a word, it was a message from God that I needed to hear. I believe that's what Sunday is. I believe coming in the morning, and we still have Sunday night church. I get these topical emails on a regular basis, and they talk about all the trends and changes in churches. Amen. And then the next one I'm going to get, I think it's going to tell us that we just need to shut down. Amen. Because they keep talking about, you know, you don't do this anymore, and you don't have Sunday night. All these things you don't have. But I'll tell you what, folks, I come back each Sunday night because I simply am expecting that God to send a messenger. Amen. It's not about me coming up to deliver a message. I said it last Sunday. Oftentimes, there's more things that are being received and being done around in the midst of the church before we even get to the preaching hour. So when we still have church on Wednesday night and prayer time, we gather at the altar here, and I say it often, and many of you have been prayed for, but you never found your way here on a Wednesday night. And don't wait till cancer comes to your home. Don't wait to trouble the child. Don't wait to physical illness or financial. Don't wait for that time to come. And heaven forbid you be of that number. I'm still amazed at how few that we find ourselves praying for, and maybe we're praying with, but they don't find their way back to pray. We're coming here to get a message from God. Amen. And we're coming to take that message out, and I challenge you to realize, and so that should be the hallmark of our life, is if you really say, God, I don't want to ignore your messengers anymore. So God, I'm going to be looking for your messengers. As I look for your message, as I receive the message from the word and prayer and from others, then God, I want to be that ambassador. I want to be that missionary. I want to be that prophet who goes out to share a message with a lost and dying world. Matthew 1:10 says, for this is he of whom is written. It's speaking of John the Baptist. It says, behold, I send my messenger before thy face. So God is talking of the messengers, beginning with John and many others. In 2 Corinthians 8:23, the Bible says, whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. To our brethren be inquired of, they are messengers of the churches in the glory of Christ. You're a messenger from the church, from the Bible says. And then 2 Corinthians 12:7, as we've looked at the many last few Sundays, we're taking a break this Sunday, and about Satan and about his work and about how he wants the children. We see in 2 Corinthians 12:7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. I'm telling you, Satan's got a message too. Amen. Satan's got some messengers too, amen? And we need to understand that we need to be so in tune with the messengers God is sending, not ignoring them, and then taking the message out, that clearly we know when anyone or anything gives a message, we can identify where it came from, and we can plow on ahead where God wants us to go. But not only do we not need to ignore the messengers from God, I think Mary shows that clearly, amen? There's something else that Mary shows us. Secondly, this morning, we need to understand that Mary's life is a picture, is an example, it's a testimony that we need to always wait on God's timing. Amen? Always wait on God's timing. In verse 27, we find the messenger Gabriel is beginning to give the message, and delivering the message, it says, to a virgin, a spouse to a man. Now, the just most simplistic level, what this message is about waiting, is we find that Mary and Joseph had chosen, and they were waiting for God's timing to have a sexual relationship in their relationship. And God's timing was after marriage. Amen? It's still God's plan. It's still God's desire that you wait. And it's still God's desire that you understand that it's always, there's always, always a way to wait for his timing. But I find this morning is not... for this message and even this time, as important as is to do that, and you either make a choice, you're going to or you're not going to it, amen? And if you made a wrong choice, I encourage you, and I believe through the power of the Holy Spirit, God will honor you just putting a stake in the ground today and saying, no more, I'll wait from this point till I marry. But for this morning, I really think always waiting the Lord's time. I think the message that Mary sends to all of us, amen, is that a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, you're in a relationship with Christ, and it's a relationship, it's always a relationship, it's a waiting relationship, amen? It's a relationship that the Bible talks about, that we're always waiting on his way. We're always waiting, as this is in John 14, on his truth. We're always waiting for his life to manifest. And oftentimes we get tired of waiting, amen? Y'all all right? We get so tired of waiting. God, I'm waiting for you to come through. I'm waiting for a message. I'm waiting for something to change. And God continue to just paint that picture that we always, in every situation, what we always need to do is we've got to wait on the Lord. I want you to turn to, if you would, to Psalms 25:5. As you turn, and you need to turn there, because in Psalms 25:5, we're going to kind of launch out on waiting. And I'm just going to go through these quickly, but it's just a biblical progression. There's many more, but I want you to see God is so emphatic. God is so clear. God is so calling on us to wait, to just continually wait upon him. So in Psalm 25, there in verse 5, the Bible says, lead me in thy truth. Teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. The key words there, he wants to lead, as we wait, he'll lead you to the truth. Amen. He wants to teach us, and we ought to wait for him to teach us. And so many others are trying to teach us. Turn on to Psalm 27 and verse 14. You might want to mark these, highlight them. Some of you probably find them already highlighted in your Bibles. Psalm 27:14 says these words, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Isn't it amazing how God is saying, if we'll just wait on him and wait on his timing, he'll give us the courage we need to wait, a courage to bear up under what's going on. He says that what he wants to do, if we wait on him, is strengthen our heart. He didn't say he's strengthening our body. He didn't say he's strengthening our mind, but he'd do something in the waiting that our heart, that nothing else could do. Turn on with me to Psalm 37. We're just stepping through the psalm. There's many more, but in Psalm 37 and verse 7, look what the Bible says. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. I'm looking out at some of you now, and I see you often. You look tired. Rest is eluding you. You're not sleeping well. You're so busy in the week, you're not getting the rest you need. And God has said, hey, you just need to rest in me. Wait patiently. It says, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So many of you are fretting about different things, and you're worried, and you're fretting. And God says, just wait on me. Just rest on me. Go to Psalm 37 and verse 34. In that same 37 verse 34, the Bible says, wait on the Lord. Keep his way. Remember I said that relationship Jesus talks in John 14. We're waiting on his way. And he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Go with me to Psalm 40. Just right over, not far, in Psalm 40 and verse 1. The Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. Amen. He hears those tears. And go with me to Psalm 59 in verse 9. Psalm 59 in verse 9, the Bible says, because of his strength will I wait upon thee. For God is my defense. You're weak, you're troubled, things are going on physically, emotionally, whatever the weakness is. And say, he says, just wait on me. Wait on me, and it's because of his strength. I'm waiting for his strength to come in, and amen, it will. He'll be my defense. Look at Psalm 62 and 5. You see how the Bible's just packed full of it. Psalm 62, 5. The Bible says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Oh, we could camp out here. We could preach the rest of the day and on to the next week. God is telling us that we have got to wait upon him. Our soul, or who we really are, waits upon him. He's got to be all your expectation. Dr. James Dobson, focused on the family, said years ago, we should have no expectations of anyone but God alone. Can I get amen? Amen. Quit expecting something out of anyone or anybody else. Just wait upon God. Put all your expectation in him and understand that he is the one. He is the one that will bring it. In Psalm 62, 5, that's where I just read. In Psalm 130, let's flip up a little further. And there's many more. This is not all of them. The Bible's just full of waiting. Psalm 130 and verse 5 says this. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And look at the last part of the verse. And in his word do I hope. See, Mary showed us that her example of waiting, you have to understand she was waiting. It wasn't because of the tradition. It was from the fact that she had found favor in God's eyes. It's the fact that God, the Lord, was with her. What she was doing is, listen, she understood that waiting upon the Lord, that was the hallmark of her life. Just being and waiting after marriage to be having sex and have a child was just a small part of that waiting that she was doing. She had actually been waiting on God, we know, for all of her life, waiting on God to give her that message. You need to understand, listen, there's always time to wait, amen? There's always time to wait to say anything or wait to respond to anything or wait to. There's always time to wait upon God. I've often said I'd rather waited 2 weeks long than go 1 second ahead of where God wants us to be. So not only do we need to just never, and we need to get that life lesson of just not ignoring those messengers, and we need to understand that we always need to take that time to wait upon God. But lastly, and we'll finish with this in verse 28, if you'll go back with me to Luke 1:28. We need to only seek the favor of the Lord, church. Christian, we need to only seek the favor of the Lord. It's so clear as we find there in verse 28 where it says, the angel came to her, said, thou art highly favored. Says in verse 30, thou hast found favor with God. Favored means in this verse that you found grace, that unmerited favor of God, being accepted, being honored. But how did she find that favor? It's found in that same verse 28 when the Bible tells us that the angels remind, the Lord's with you. She had a relationship with God. She knew God, but more importantly, God knew her. I don't have time to go there, but you can look at Matthew 7 and 21 through 27. It speaks of there'll be a time when people say, Lord, 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 I did these things. Lord, I knew you. And God will say, depart from me, I never knew you. We need to realize and how our world has gotten to the point that we have is there's so many other places that people are seeking favor from besides God. Amen? We need to understand the question this morning. I close with this. Have you found favor with God? Does God look at your life and he says, I highly favor you? And what does that all look like? But the question, have you found favor with God? Are you looking for favor from other places? Are you looking for the favor of a mother and father? And some of you have wonderful mothers and fathers and wonderful family, but some of you have strained relationships and hard relationships, and you just continually are trying to say the right things and do the right things. You just want the favor of your mother, your father, your children, someone in your family. But we need to understand that all that's important is finding the favor of God like Mary did. Learn that lesson from Mary, because in finding the favor of God, then God will take care of everybody else. Amen? Too many people are looking and trying to find the favor of a wife or a husband, trying to do the right things, say the right things, help to fix the right things and do the right things. And once again, trying to find the favor of your children by just doing everything to do your best to raise them and give them what they need and do everything. But realize and listen, it's not the favor of your husband and wife you need. You need the favor of God. And then God, he can, as you wait upon him and as you don't ignore his messengers, he'll bring everything else. Too often people want the favor of the boss, amen. They want the favor of a friend. We're too often quick to say, hey, I got a hookup. I know somebody up here. They can get us tickets to the game. They can help me get that item I need to buy. And we're always looking for the favor of somebody. Sometimes we'll be quicker and more excited to talk about the favor that we have with someone or some business organization than with the favor of God. And the question continues, have you found favor in the Lord? Mary, her lesson is, we look at her life, we look at her humility. She was waiting and hearing the messages. She was waiting upon God, and she had already found the favor of God. We're full, we're being bombarded to this time of all the elections, especially presidential, that the candidates in politics, you know what they're doing? They're seeking the favor of the voters, amen? When I tell you what they need to be seeking is the favor of God, amen? People are always stepping forward. I ain't voting for this person. I ain't voting for that person. I ain't voting for nobody. Preacher, who are you voting for? You want to tell you what? Well, I'm waiting for. I'm just going to pray real hard, because I read a verse early in this passage that says, with God, all things are possible. I'm waiting for some candidates to get saved. Y'all right? Because there's still time for a candidate to get saved, so we'd have somebody to vote for, because I don't see candidates running or left in the race that are fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, y'all. I don't want a candidate. I don't want a president. I don't want a congressman. I don't want anybody. I don't want a church member. I want my family seeking the favor of anybody. I want them seeking the favor of God. Amen? And when we seek the favor of God, everything falls into place. I know I keep trying to close, but I do want to close. I'm going to take you to 2 Timothy, and we'll close just with the Word of God. And I'm going to give you this with no comment. Some of you are saying that's impossible. He can't do that. So that really makes me committed to doing it. Have you found favor of the Lord? Have you found favor? Have you learned that law? Is it new? Have you found favor with the Lord? Or are you trying to find favor in this world? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Would you pray with me, every head bowed and every eye closed? Do you think there's a chance you've been ignoring some messengers of God?